This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Happy Valentine's weekend to you. I'm Freddie Bell and welcome to New Beginnings. Coming up on the show today, we'll hear about a huge Valentine sinkout happening on Valentine's Day from Kitty Harris. She is the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. We'll also talk finance with Leibel Sternbach and masking with Elizabeth Ebalt, the vaccine equity director for the Minnesota Department of Health. I'm Freddie Bell and this is New Beginnings.
We got Jay Havala, of course, Associate State Director of Community Engagement with AARP. Good morning, Jay. How are you, my Scorpio friend?
Hey, Chantel. Hey, Freddie. Good morning.
Hello, neighbor. How are
hello,
you?
Hello, hello. Doing just fine. It's cold outside, but I'm staying in.
That's good stuff. Yeah, definitely be safe. AARP and Fraud Watch Network program helps people protect their money from con artists who've been running full force during the pandemic. Thousands of scams we've been talking about on this show, Jay. First and foremost, with those reports, fraud fighter volunteers have information to the public so everybody can be safe, correct?
Yes, that's right. We've been at it for years trying to help people avoid these scams. And you know what? I got another, with Valentine's Day right around the corner here, I got another love problem for you this morning.
You have a love problem?
I got a love problem. You ready to hear about it?
Yeah, yes. Come on, dear friend.
All right. Well, here's the thing. At AARP, we get thousands of reports of scams every month. And we get reports from victims who thought they met the love of a lifetime online, but they end up getting scammed and they lose a lot of money. Ooh. And I'm not saying all these dating apps and websites are bad. I'm just saying that people have to be cautious out there. And even if you're not actively using a dating website, this is still important because scammers have branched out and they're using gaming apps and social media sites and anywhere people can meet online.
Mm. Wow. Well, that's new. I don't even think we talked about this in previous years.
Sure, it's happening a lot, especially during the pandemic. More and more people, record numbers of people are dating online. And, you know, the rule about too good to be true, it definitely applies here. If you're looking at someone's online profile, whether it's on a dating website or their social media profile, and their photos look like a supermodel, they're throwing $100 bills around, they have this glamorous job, and their heroic job, they're traveling the world, and then they tell you that you're the best thing that ever happened to them, and they want to get married before you even meet them in person.
Wow.
This too good to be true rule definitely applies.
Wow.
That is something. Gets me every time.
<That's>, I hope not.
No, that is just extreme. But, you know, there are dating apps like Bumble who have a verification part of the app where you have to verify that your identity, these are your authentic pictures. So that's a good thing. But not all dating apps do that. So talk about how people can be safe if they're going to online date these days.
Yeah, that's true. So the websites that want to have their users be verified, that's a good thing. What the scammers do to get around that is as soon as you start talking with them through the website, they say they want to talk to you somewhere else. They say go on over to this chat service or a different app where they're not verified. So watch out for that red flag.
Tricky.
And then if they tell you that this has got to be a secret, if they tell you they can't talk on the phone, they can only text and chat, if they can't video chat with you, then that's a red flag. And you know what the biggest red flag we're talking about here is? That as soon as they ask you to send some money, that's the biggest red flag there is.
Right, for sure. So there's some common stories about an oil rig worker. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, we're hearing this all the time right now. So people are looking at these online profiles. They start talking with someone or chatting with someone online. They say they're an oil rig worker. They're out in the middle of the ocean. Or they say they're a doctor that are helping people in Africa or some other part of the world. And that helps them explain why they can't talk on the phone or video chat live, because they don't have coverage. Mm. And then after some time, they're coming to Minnesota here and they're going to meet you. But then they have this emergency and they need some money. And funny, even though they told you that they have millions of dollars, they can't get to it. And so sometimes it's the victims themselves that come up with the idea, hey, if I can send you this money, then maybe you can take care of this this problem you have and come visit me and pay me back what you didn't.
Wow, people are very creative with the scams.
I'm just sitting here with my mouth open.
Yeah, and this is the saddest thing about it is that there's a lot of people out there looking for real love, you know, and they will fall for it, especially if you've been conversating with this person for a long period of time and you caught feelings and all of that, and you'll be willing to do anything to meet them and to be with them. What is your advice, Jay, for people to be safer when it comes to just dating in general, online or offline?
Sure. People got enough to worry about, whether it's going to meet a stranger someplace that they haven't met before, or just, you know, get into a relationship like Belle Biv DeVoe was singing about, that girl is poison. So we got enough problems with those kind of things, but now we got these scammers out there, you know. So people, you just got to be cautious. If you're aware that these scammers are out there as imposters trying to be someone they're not, then you're going to be less likely, and just be more skeptical of what you're seeing online. And then, as I always say, you know, online dating, it tends, for some people, they want to keep it secretive and they're not talking to their friends about it. They're not talking to their family. And that puts us in a bad spot, because when we're isolated, the scammers have us right where they want us to be. So it might not be the first thing you want to talk with your friends and family about, but think about that when you're all alone, that's where the con artists want you to be.
Wow.
So can you get directed help from the Fraud Watch helpline?
Yeah, that's what we do at AARP. We have our Fraud Watch helpline. That phone number is 877-908-3360. And then people can find out online. Just go to aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork and you'll learn all about it.
Jay Hoppolo, what would we do without you? Associate State Director, Community Engagement with AARP, keeping us up to date on all these scams. People are just terribly creative. Can't they put that creative energy into something more positive? Can't they?
That would be all right, but there's too much money to be stolen.
Well, thankfully, you guys are on top of it at AARP. Yeah, and he channeled this song, and he said that girl is poison. So, thank you so much, Jay. We appreciate you.
Thanks, you too.
All right.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit FreddieBell.com/New Beginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
People today, they could spend half their lives over 50. That's a lot of living. So it helps to have a wise friend and fierce defender in your corner. A friend like AARP. So your health lives longer.
This is just slow-mo karate.
Just slow-mo karate.
Your money lives longer.
Hey, I just bought that.
Huh, I just sold that.
And your happiness lives longer. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Join today.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell, and it's really exciting to be with you this weekend, as we are every weekend right here on New Beginnings, a point of listening for you as we try to help you not only with health, but with finance, with your money. And as we're talking about money this weekend, sooner than you may realize, your credit score will start to matter. A solid credit score can be the difference between qualifying for an apartment or a low-interest car loan or just simply missing out. So to have credit ready when you need needed, the time to start building a good and lengthy credit history is right now. I know that's what Mom always said. There's more than one way to build credit, and it could be as simple as reporting your ongoing bill payments to the major credit bureaus. But keep in mind, building credit takes diligence, particularly since missing payments can hurt your score for years to come. Your credit score is a number that typically ranges between 300 and 850 and is calculated based on how reliably you've paid past debts, such as credit card bills. Lenders use your credit score to predict how likely you are to repay debt and to decide how much interest to charge you. Now, I know that if you're 50 plus, you know all these rules, but it's important to revisit these ideas from time to time. As you know, credit cards can be a great tool to establish credit, but they can also damage your score if you take on more debt than you can handle. If a parent or another trusted person in your life has a high credit limit and a long history of making timely payments, you could become an authorized user on their account and benefit from their good credit. This is one of the easy ways to lengthen your credit history. That, according to Blaine Thiederman, he's a certified financial planner in Arvada, Colorado. If you have your own income, you can apply for a credit card when you're 18 years old. Otherwise, you have to wait until you're 21. A secured credit card is typically the best credit card to start with. A cash deposit backs these cards, and because the credit card company can take that deposit if you miss payments, people with short or poor credit histories can qualify. If you live independently, payments for rent, utilities, and phone bills can all be reported to credit bureaus. So paying these bills can build your credit if they're on time and you have them reported. These aren't reported automatically and can require a third-party service. And also, making regular payments on loans can also help you build your credit. And even if you don't have credit history, some loans are available. Credit card builder loans rely on income rather than credit for approval. Now, if you are approved, the loan sits in a bank account and becomes available once you pay it off. Your monthly payments are reported to the major credit bureaus. And student loans are another loan you can also use to build your credit when you're just starting out. Federal student loans don't require credit to qualify, while most private student loans do. Paying off your loans will help you to expand your credit history, and you can get started while you're still in school by making interest-only payments. This show is for everybody, even for the younger people in our audience, because I know you listen in. And you're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell with you every weekend at this time. And we've got more coming up. We're talking health, wealth, and everything important to you right here on New Beginnings. All Minnesotans aged 12 and older who got the Pfizer vaccine should get a booster shot at least 5 months after their second dose. People aged 12 to 17 can also receive the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine as their booster dose. To find a vaccine or a booster for your child, visit mn.gov/vaxforkids or check with your health care provider or pharmacy, or watch for vaccination clinics being offered at schools or other community locations near you. This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
Visit my all-new FreddieBell.com website. Get up close and personal with me as a speaker, motivator, and broadcaster. Read what others have to say when they've hired me as a keynote speaker and presenter. And learn why I'm the authority on the power of focus. Download the marketing kit or contact me directly at 888-639-9738. When you're there, stop by my all-new Freddie Bell Show webpage at FreddieBell.com. FreddieBell.com. Information, motivation, innovation, and more.
The Minnesota Department of Health says thanks to all Minnesotans who are taking precautions against COVID-19. There is an extremely high demand for testing right now. Here are ways to get tested. Walk in or schedule an appointment at one of the state's free community testing sites. Some sites only accept appointments, so check before you go. A message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello, everyone, and joining us right now on New Beginnings, let's talk about the pandemic, but more specifically, let's talk about masking. With us now is the Vaccine Outreach Director for the Minnesota Department of Health, Elizabeth Ebolt. She's been with us several times, and just curious, lately I've been going out and I've been seeing different masks. And when I say that, I mean I used to see advertising on the mask, on these cloth masks, but now I'm seeing that there are more KN or N95 mask. How important is masking and having the proper type of masking according to the CDC and the MDH?
Yes. Thanks for having me be here, Freddie. So the fundamental thing with masking is we need to wear masks, right? And you're right. Our masks have changed. And over the last 2+ years now, we've learned more and more about proper masking, wearing them in different situations, indoor, outdoor, in large group settings, and the best ways to protect ourselves and others against the virus. So as part of this evolution, the CDC recently released some new guidance for all of us on what at this stage makes for the most effective masks, which I think lends itself to these new masks that you've been seeing with more people wearing N95, KN95 masks. And so the biggest takeaways in understanding the effectiveness of face masks at this point in our pandemic response is really that the best mask you can wear is one that is high quality and well-fitting. And therefore, the best examples of those would be an N95 or KN95 mask. And for someone who's asking why, what makes these masks so special? Well, what makes them so special and makes them so effective is that they're both very effective. They're 95% effective at, they're effective at protecting against 95% of droplets or particles that are in the air and keeping those from reaching your nose and mouth. So that is, levels higher than just basic, single layer cloth masks. Last month, actually, to this point, President Biden announced that beginning in February, pharmacies across the country would be giving out free N95 masks to adults. And so some of those pharmacies in Minnesota would include Costco, Hy-Vee, CVS, Rite Aid, Sam's Club, Walgreens, and Walmart. And to find out if any one of those pharmacies near you has N95s available, you can just reach out to them directly. Now, for those of us who don't have an N95 or KN95 mask or can't easily access one for whatever reason, the next best thing that you can do is wear a well-fitting mask. And by that, I mean, make sure it's snug to your face and that it's made of at least 2 layers of tightly woven fabric. And even the next step to that would be to layer a disposable mask and underneath that cloth mask to increase its effectiveness. So, what we're just seeing is that over time, our understanding of how to protect ourselves has changed in many ways. We've seen it in other ways in our response. And so this is just now what we're best understanding with masking.
We're talking with Elizabeth Eboth. She is the Vaccine Outreach Director. We're talking about masking today. So tell us about the N95 mask. I know that it has a shelf life. How often can you wear this mask before you need to dispose of it since they can't be washed?
Yes, that's a good question. And it actually is. It kind of varies. I mean, if you're working in a medical professional setting, certainly, you don't reuse these masks. But for us who are, going in and out of the grocery store, at school, picking up our kids, in these sorts of settings that most of us are in more regularly, you can reuse these masks. I've seen breakdowns of, 40 hours, per mask. And really, it just depends. So long as, the mask hasn't gotten that intense fuzziness that we all know so well on the inside and outside of our mask, isn't very visibly dirty, it's still, like I said, snug, your straps are able to hook behind your ears and still fit snug to your face, you can get away with reusing the mask. But I think it just sort of depends on individual judgment when, it's past its shelf life for yourself.
You mentioned the free N95 masks that the government is sending, that we can find them at the different pharmacies around the state. Tell us about, is this an endless supply, or do we get the 4 masks and then that's it?
That's right. So at each of the pharmacies I mentioned, again, I'll repeat them, Costco, Hy-Vee, CVS, Rite Aid, Sam's Club, Walgreens, and Walmart, to include some from that list. Each adult that goes to the pharmacies that have them will be able to get a limit of 3 masks per person. So unfortunately, at this time, it isn't set up as an indefinite distribution method. but certainly in the short term to help supply these masks to people that in a more accessible way, with the hope certainly that, you know, I imagine this program could be brought back or extended in the future.
Everyone, Elizabeth Eboth with us this weekend on New Beginnings. Tell us, what is your hope as the Vaccine Outreach Director? Do you hope to see that your position will be eliminated over time? What is the future for this portion of the work that MDH is doing?
Sure. Well, I think that we're all sort of experiencing a transition in all aspects of our life and how we're dealing with the pandemic response. I think we can feel a little bit of a decreased sense of intensity and urgency and emergency that we felt in the first days and weeks and months and year of this pandemic response. And we are settling into understanding that these practices of mask wearing, of washing our hands, of, you know, remaining distant in certain settings, in getting vaccinated and getting our boosters, that it's becoming more of a practice that we have in our life and might ebb and flow depending on where cases are at in our different counties or different cities, et cetera. And so I think as I look for myself, you know, ahead to this next year, to these coming weeks and months and this next year, I certainly think that this will remain, you know, we want to remain a resource to the public. We want to remain, a place to answer questions and to help with best practices and to help sort of direct individual decision making, certainly, but in a way that's a little bit more part of our general public health response.
Final question. Do you think that we'll ever get away from social distancing or masking, or should this, in your opinion, be just because of just being clean and making sure that we're not contaminating each other, that this will become a portion of our daily lives?
You know, that's something I'm thinking about myself right now. I really don't know. And I think it just depends. I mean, I think that for so many people right now, you know, with being vaccinated and being boosted, it has offered a sense of relief for them, certainly, and seeing our younger children now accessing vaccines as well. But I think for other parts of the population, too, you know, people who are immunocompromised, for example, you know, members of our elderly population, this virus still remains quite tragic. And so I think it just depends. And you know, I don't know what to expect necessarily. I'm done predicting too much, but I do think that it will be here with us, and it will require a bit of each of us to make sure that it stays under control. That might change what that looks like for each of us. Like I said, depending on case numbers, depending on, you know, the season, et cetera. But I think it will require something from each of us to keep it at an appropriate response level.
I guess there's nothing wrong with being vigilant.
That's right. That's right.
That's Elizabeth Eboth. She is the Vaccine Outreach Director from the Minnesota Department of Health. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
And you're listening to New Beginnings.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
The
The Minnesota Department of Health says thanks to all Minnesotans who are taking precautions against COVID-19. There is an extremely high demand for testing right now. Here are ways to get tested. Walk in or schedule an appointment at one of the state's free community testing sites. Some sites only accept appointments, so check before you go. A message from the Minnesota Department of Health. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Great information this weekend on New Beginnings. Right now, it's time for our weekend review. Peloton gave its 2,800 laid-off employees free memberships for an additional 12 months. Not only was it announced this week that the CEO and co-founder John Foley, who has led Peloton for its entire 10-year existence, is stepping down, but the company is also cutting 2,800 jobs, affecting 20% of its corporate positions. Foley will become executive chairman, while Barry McCarthy, former CFO to Spotify and Netflix, will step in as the CEO and president. And did you know that Americans took on more than $1 trillion in new debt last year thanks to home and cars? The total consumer debt is now hovering around $15.6 trillion versus $14.6 trillion a year ago. The jump is largely a function of a sharp rise in prices for home and cars. For example, the price of an average U.S. home rose almost 20% last year, while rising prices for new and used cars drove in auto loan originations to a record $734 billion. And who's winning the Olympics? Not the United States. Red-blooded patriots across the United States are, one must assume, swinging wildly between rage and abject grief as they grapple with the harsh reality that after more than a week of competition, Team USA has yet to win a gold medal, at least at this recording. At the 2018 Winter Olympics in South Korea, the United States ranked fourth with 9 golds, 8 silvers, and 6 bronzes. Except for the 1980 Summer Olympics in Moscow, in which American athletes did not participate, the United States has never failed to win at least one gold medal since the modern Olympics began in 1896. That's our weekend review. Now's my favorite time of the program when we turn our attention to talk finance with Leibel Sternbach. Leibel is an amazing author. He is the Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. And today we want to talk about downsizing as we go into retirement. Leibel, hello and welcome back.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Unbelievable. And this topic is near and dear to my heart. I hope you can help me too, as well as our listeners.
Yeah. So downsizing, a big question that we all have on our minds. Right before the pandemic, I actually did an interview with a Wall Street Journal reporter on this particular topic. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a radical argument that I want you to keep in mind as we talk about all of this.
Okay.
So the Wall Street Journal reporter had been asking a question about, should retirees get mortgages on their home? And she was looking for someone to say that they should stay out of mortgages and pay off all of their mortgages and be debt free.
Okay.
I had a very radical radical suggestion. This is my personal belief. I believe that if you have money tied up in your home, right, and you are not using it, then what value is it, right? And if you have a way of getting that money out of your home and using that to then grow your investments, your retirement nest egg, that can be the difference between scraping by and having a decent lifestyle. Now, I do want to point out, I'm a little bit in the minority in that view, but I want you to view your home as an asset. You spent all this time building up your home, building the equity in it, mm-hmm. gathering this value. If it just sits there, right, and then goes on to someone else who then sells the house, what value was it to you? It didn't bring you, right? It did not help you with your retirement. It is a significant asset. And so if you are facing a shortfall in your retirement, or you're facing having to tighten your belt, look at your home as a potential asset. There are a number of ways to tap into that asset. One of which is downsizing.
Reverse mortgages is another one. There are other ways to tap into the equity in your house, but I want you to think of it as an asset, not just as a place to live.
Libel is owning a home. I know when I was growing up, the adage was a chicken in every pot and everybody owns a home, something like that. So is it the great investment that it used to be, say, 30, 40 years ago, owning a home today?
So it's interesting that you bring that phrase up. So the idea of owning a home, right? Mm-hmm. It came from a study that was done that was... It was actually a very racist study if you look into it, but it was a study that Congress had commissioned that they wanted to see what made a good citizen. And what they discovered was that people who owned homes were less likely to commit crimes and they contributed more to society. So they said, you know what? We're going to encourage people to own homes, right? And they enacted multiple programs, propaganda campaigns to get people to own homes. It culminated in the 2007-2008 housing market crash because Congress had pushed so much money into people owning homes and the banks literally were giving away money for people to buy homes. And the federal government was backing all of it because of this idea that homeowners make good citizens. So in reality, when you look at it, is owning a home a good investment? From an investment standpoint, it will appreciate. I think real estate is like 3-4% on average. Mm-hmm. So when you look at, you know, as a pure investment, 3-4% of your home versus 6-7% real return on the stock market doesn't really make so much sense. The better question and the other considerations that you got to consider, right, are cost of ownership, which that changes over time. Sometimes owning a house is cheaper than renting. Sometimes it's in reverse. That's constantly changing based on the cost and the location. So don't assume that owning a house is the cheapest for you. It used to be. You get a mortgage for, you know, $500 and renting was $1,000. Made obvious sense. Own a home. But in some places that's reversed where, you know, it costs you $500,000 more to own a home because you got to pay when that pipe bursts and the furnace stops working. Whereas when you rent, it's on somebody else. So
a conundrum though, when you look at it? So you mentioned earlier at the outset about in retirement, you want to downsize and you look at what it would take to downsize, but you wind up paying about the same thing that you're paying when you own the larger home.
Well, if you end up in terms of expenses, right? So there's two ways to look at it, right? If you're going to downsize and you're selling a house and you're buying something else for the same price and it's just smaller and it's going to cost you the same amount of money to maintain, then it's purely a lifestyle choice, right? Will I be more happy, more comfortable in that new house with the amenities that it comes in, the community that it comes in, right? And that is a very valid consideration. When we're young and growing and we have kids, we need the space. We need a school district. We need different amenities than when we're older and we want, you know, to have a pool to hang out in. We want, you know, warm climate. We want, you know, all kinds of things that are different than when we were younger and accumulating our wealth. So in terms of if they're both the same, then it's really a lifestyle question. If they're not the same, right, then you got to look at it and you got to say, what do I get out of this exchange, right? If I stay in my home, right, I got to maintain it. I don't get to tap into the equity in it, or you need to figure out some way to tap into the equity if you need that money, right? And then you got to look at the other expenses that are associated with it and see what makes sense for you. And for a lot of people, it may make sense to downsize because you got a smaller place to heat and cool. You get amenities, right? And I don't know about you, but the thought of, you know, having to carry groceries up the stairs for the rest of my life, that's not something I'm looking forward to. I love going to my mother-in-law's place and having the doorman take the groceries up to the apartment.
Wonderful thing.
Yeah. You know, my mother-in-law's got a condo in Florida and she goes there in the winter. And then she comes in the summer, you know, to all of her kids and grandkids. But when she's, you know, down there in Florida, she's swimming every day. She has her people that she's with. Those are things, right? That those are reasons beyond the monetary to downsize that you want to look at.
How important, when you look at the monetary versus lifestyle, I've heard, and I think I've heard you say that you want to take cost out of living so that you can retire more comfortably.
Yeah, you definitely want to. The idea is, you know, you worked all your life to get to this point, right? You want to be able to enjoy this. This is what you want. You need to take some time and think about, what does retirement look like for me? What will it feel like for me? What makes me feel retired? If you're still doing the same old stuff that you were doing your entire life, will that feel like retirement? I know for me personally, right? I want to have a house by the beach. I want to be on the beach all day. That to me is retirement.
That's good too.
Yeah. It's, you got to think about those things, right? And then go try to figure out how to make that happen. Forget about the money for a second, right? Just what will retirement look like? And then once you know what that is, let's put some dollar and cents to that question and then look and say, well, is the place where we're living right now, will that get me my goal? Well, right now I live in Long Island. I'm sort of by the beach, but it's freezing here right now, right? Can't go to the beach in the middle of the winter. Not in New York. In Florida, you can do it. You can get away with it. You can sit on the beach in January.
We have to step away. So would you suggest, if you're looking at downsizing, would you look at, is there an advantage to a condo versus an apartment when you're talking about, well, maybe lifestyle is more important versus the financial idea?
Yeah, let's take a look at I'll take a look at some of the non-financial, and then when we come back, we can talk about the finances in more detail. So non-financial stuff of living in a condo, right? You are going to be surrounded by other people. And if you've always lived in a house your entire life, that might be a little disconcerting for you. I'm the oldest of eight siblings. So noise and the noise around me is something that I grew up with. And for me, when I first moved out of the house, I moved into an apartment, not because of cost, but because I found it weird to be around quiet, not having noise. So you got to think about that. You got to think about, am I going to be in a retirement community that's age restricted, or will I have, 18, 19 year olds who are coming back at 2-3 o'clock in the morning from clubs or playing their music all night, right? That's a serious concern if you can't fall asleep, right? Or you're getting interrupted all the time.
That never happens.
Yeah, totally. Never happens. And even in an age restricted community, you have kids and grandkids who come and stay, or people with the Airbnb now. So you got to look into, what is really the demographic? What is it that will make me feel and be comfortable? So think about that. And then you also have the other side of this, which is, the amenities. Maybe you want to have a doorman who is there 24/7, who can come to your apartment to help you with whatever it is that you want help with, right? You want to have a pool. You want to have, a tennis court. Whatever those things are that you couldn't necessarily have in a house that you can have in a condo. Really take some time to think about it.
We'll do that. Everyone, we're talking with Libel. We're talking about your home. We're talking about a condo. We're talking about the pros and cons of it. A lot of different considerations into this. And when we come back, we'll talk about, and we'll take some questions from you as well. But it's really eye-opening for me to have this discussion with you today, Libel, because of the hearing you say that there are some factors other than financial that play into this. And that made me go, when I'm talking to Libel, who is the expert in money. Thank you, Libel. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. His website is simply libelonfire.com. That's libelonfire.com. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference, available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Visit my all-new FreddieBell.com website. Get up close and personal with me as a speaker, motivator, and broadcaster. Read what others have to say when they've hired me as a keynote speaker and presenter. And learn why I'm the authority on the power of focus. Download the marketing kit or contact me directly at 888-639-9738. When you're there, stop by my all-new Freddie Bell Show webpage at FreddieBell.com. FreddieBell.com. Information, motivation, innovation, and more.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone. And with us right now is the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, right in the middle of great things happening in Minneapolis. And we are really privileged to talk with Kitty Harris. She is a property manager. Good morning, Kitty, and welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Freddie, and always a pleasure to be here with you.
This weekend, we're celebrating love. And as a result of that, the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center is positioning itself to leverage Valentine's.
Yes, absolutely. So this year is the 10th year that the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center has been open. And one of our anniversary dates is February 14th. Valentine's Day signifies the very first day that one of our residents moved into our memory care facility. And so we usually have a big party on every Valentine's Day to commemorate that. But obviously because of COVID, we can't have a big party, but we are going to still do our monthly sing-out program. So our partners at Alive and Kickin' will be hosting our monthly sing-out this Monday from 1:30 to 3 p.m. in our great room. Everyone is invited to attend. It is completely free, and no talent is required to attend this event.
No talent is required.
Right. So a lot of times when people hear about us having a sing-out event with Alive and Kickin', because they're such a great chorus, people think that they have to have the same singing ability to come with us. But it's really just an opportunity for us to come together. We listen to music from all different types of generations, all different types, you know, from Motown to country to rock and roll. We provide all of our visitors with songbooks that have the lyrics and it's easy to read, and there's always opportunities to get up and dance. So it's just a good time to love on each other through music.
So tell us again, I know there's some folks who heard the words Alive and Kickin'. Tell us about that organization.
Yeah, so Alive and Kickin' is our senior rock group that's housed in the center, and they go throughout the Twin Cities area performing at different venues, and they sing, like I said, a wide array of songs. And the cast starts at the age of 62 and up. And their mission truly is to just bring joy and love to people through song, and to show that as you age in life and as you are, you know, going on this journey, when you're a senior, you're still alive and kicking. And so that's just their entire mission, to just have such a joyous, fun time through music, through dance, and just connect with community in that way.
I can hear the excitement in your voice. Tell us, that's on Valentine's Day, the 14th, next Tuesday.
Yes, Monday the 14th.
Oh, Monday,
so
I'm sorry.
Their signature colors are red anyway, so it's a wonderful, you know, you can wear your red, you can wear your pink, so, and come spend your Valentine's Day with Alive and Kickin' at 1015 4th Avenue North in Minneapolis, and we start at 1:30 p.m.
All right. Is there a registration needed?
No registration needed. You can just show up. Like I said, the cost is completely free, and there's always some type of snack, and we're always mindful for it to be COVID friendly.
So for folks who are needing information, give us the address and telephone number for more information.
For more information, they can give us a call at 612-344-2221, and our address is 1015 4th Avenue North in Minneapolis.
That's Kitty Harris, the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, and you're listening to New Beginnings. Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And with us right now is Mr. Joe McKenzie, the founder of Ripple Connects. He has a knack of turning candidates into contenders, and he'll tell you what that means. Good morning, Joe, and welcome back.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. Glad to talk with you today. And the contender mindset, I'm just curious if you can share with our listeners what a contender mindset is.
Absolutely. The contender mindset is when we work with our clients, we get them ready to be very comfortable in an interview situation, very comfortable talking to their career advocates and their professional networking in regards to the self-marketing. We want all our clients to get the job that they deserve and they've always wanted to strive for, but also not make too many missteps and taking the wrong job. So we actually help people to become very discerning in regards to their job search, to not just take a job because it sounds better or offers more, but we want people to step into jobs that they're going to grow, thrive, and move on from there and always have a career trajectory that's pointing up.
Not bad. That's Joe McKenzie, the founder of Ripple Connects, turning candidates into contenders. And today we're talking about the challenges of today's hidden job market. And I can't tell you how many times I've run into people over the span of my career, and they say that they're working at this company or they've moved to that company. And, you know, at different times, my finger had been pretty well on the pulse of what was going on in the industry. And I would think, how in the heck did they find out about that particular opportunity? Let's talk about the challenges of unearthing new career opportunities in today's hidden job market. And I must say parenthetically, Joe, that a lot of times the hidden job market is quite well hidden. How do we uncover it?
Well, you're absolutely right. The working definition of the hidden job market is if you're only looking at posted jobs online, then it's hidden to you because many of the jobs that are filled today do not get advertised online or posted online. So it's hidden to a job seeker who's only looking at online jobs. So to answer your question, it takes work to uncover those opportunities. And it takes even more work, Freddie, now that we're still in the midst of a global pandemic and not everybody is sitting down over coffee and having long conversations about where they want to go with their career, but it can still be done. And so takeaways here today obviously have to be that the hidden job market still remains, but we may have to go about a different type of strategy, a method to communicate what we're looking for so our career advocates, so our greater professional network know what we're looking for. And essentially, Freddie, what we're trying to do is create people out in the field that become our eyes and ears for these opportunities. A company may talk about, hey, we really need someone in this position, but maybe they've never created a position for it or even a job description. Well, that might be that opportunity for one of our advocates or someone that knows us to say, I know the perfect person who can fill that role. That's the hidden job market. It may not be a job description that's already written that's posted online, but we have to be in tune with that, and we have to have almost a parallel job search to make sure that we're not overlooking some of these opportunities because they may be some of the best opportunities, but it takes work. It takes a lot of work to unearth these.
The global pandemic has made it really challenging to meet at the coffee house. You mentioned in the warm-up that LinkedIn has brought some hidden job market to our fingertips, but I think we have to, would you agree that we have to be a bit more creative and open our eyes even wider for those opportunities to have those conversations?
I believe so. We have to do our own due diligence. So you mentioned LinkedIn. LinkedIn allows us to maybe see some of the target employers that we're looking for. We see who's there. So now we take control of our job search in a contender mindset, and we may know who's connected to who in a company that starts those conversations. And it may not be where there's a posted job, but maybe that's one of your target organizations. And through LinkedIn, you know someone is connected to who. You could use LinkedIn messaging to initiate that conversation. And that conversation can be a phone call or a Zoom call. So we do have to get creative. Despite the pandemic, where not as many people are sitting down over a cup of coffee, we can still achieve those same conversations. It just may look a little differently. But LinkedIn does help us to see who's knows who in different areas. And that is a strategy that I've been coaching on to mine LinkedIn, figure out who's at these companies that you want to target, and then start there. That might be your entry point into that hidden job market. So, yes, get creative. Look for those entry points. But because of the global pandemic, there's some limitations to meeting, but it's not something we should not take advantage of in regards to the hidden job market. The hidden job market offers many rich opportunities. In fact, we may even find ourselves in a better position because the person that's referring us to someone else may put us in a different light than just applying for a job description online. There may be that added bonus of this is who this person really is. And that might even unearth a better opportunity within that organization that you initially saw posted online.
That makes a lot of sense. Joe, we got to leave it right there. You do some fine work at Ripple Connect, sir.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And right now it's time for this week's Words to the Wise. And the word to the wise this week is, you can do it. Our word to the wise, you can do it. You can find more about Words to the Wise online at FreddieBell.com, Amazon.com, and BarnesandNoble.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for making us a part of your weekend. And for everyone who's been a part of this one, this is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.